to know what you're feeling, to know your thoughts, and to actually, Scripture says, to know the number of hairs on your head to the exact count. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. So we've been going through this little series, we're calling it What Jesus Did, and today we're looking at Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. I want to look at one example of what happened when Jesus prayed. Guys in the house, I'm going to get up in your grill a little bit, okay? You'll still love me at the end, but I'm going to get up in your grill a little bit and just have a man-to-man talk with you. Now, this is all for everybody because the Word of God is alive, living, sharper than the two-edged sword. So everybody, of course, can receive from it. But I'm going to poke at the guys a little bit, okay? So we're looking at our Heavenly Father. We're looking at our Heavenly Father who overshadowed His Son. Happens to be a guy named Jesus, okay? But also the parallel of the overshadowing that ties you and I in through Jesus Christ and His Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, I want to start out and just bring back to remembrance a verse that I've mentioned, I think, 3 or 4 weeks in a row now, of when God spoke over His Son. There's two incidences that we're going to look at today where God spoke over His Son. What did He say? Okay? One of those times is, as we very familiar, as I said, was in Matthew 3, whenever Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my dearly loved child, my dearly loved son. I am well pleased with him. This is my dearly loved child who brings me great joy." The second time is when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I'll bring the second time that His voice spoke over His Son when we get there in the Scripture, okay? But I want to look at Luke chapter 9. The transfiguration is called of Jesus. And what took place here? There's parallel Gospels. You guys understand what parallel Gospels are. So the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anytime two writers or two authors of those Gospels wrote something about the same event, then it's called a parallel gospel. You can go read how Luke the doctor wrote about it, or Matthew the tax collector wrote about it, or what their perspective was. So sometimes it's a little different. It's interesting to know who the author was, a little bit about them, and what they wrote about it. So this is Luke's writing, and it says that about 8 days later, 6 or 8 days later from what? This is after the time that Jesus actually sat down and talked to his disciples about predicting his death, burial, and resurrection. So about six to eight days after that, Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, James, and John, I'm going to go up to the mountain. I'm going to go up to the mountain to pray." And as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. From here, his head, his face became dazzling white. As he prayed, this verse is a very clear statement of the power of prayer to transform us, not only to transform us, but to release God's glory in our lives. It's impossible for us to overemphasize the importance of prayer in the life of a believer. Now, I want to stop here and talk about something. The glory of God. What is the glory of God? And I like to make things real simple, okay? Real simple. So what is the glory of God? I look, and through study, I think of, a lot of times when you just hear God, the glory of God is connected to the word God. It's like glory of God, glory of God, God of glory. What is that glory? I look at that as God is known by glory. What are humans known by? Their character, their attitude, what they do. So when we say glory today, I want you to be in the mindset of glory is talking about the characteristics of God and who He is. It's His attitude. It's His way of thinking. It's describing God. Transform us into the releasing of God's glory into our lives. The present day ministry of Jesus, as we know in Hebrews 7:25, is that he sits at the right hand of the Father. That is a position of power to intercede with God on our behalf. Now, I believe, men, I'm going to poke at you here first, that there is a calling going out in the world for men to be men of prayer. Now, I want you to think back. There are recorded Christian recordings, we're going to call it, of great awakenings that have taken place through the world, 3 to 4. We could argue there's 3 to 4. We probably come up and say there's 6. Anyhow, let's say there's 3 to 4 great awakenings, but those that have been researched, each great awakening that has taken place across the globe, across the world, and in America, and breakouts of awakenings of Jesus Christ, there were two things that were the forefront of it, or two events that was happening, one of two events that was taking place when this great awakening then follows. One event was either a plague or a worldwide pandemic. There's always one marked with a great awakening is there was either a plague or a pandemic happening. The other event was war. There was a war, and then there was a great awakening. We are here today sitting, coming through a worldwide pandemic, and we have Russia and Ukraine. Now, these great awakenings actually are studied back to show, believe it or not, men, that the greatest prayers during this time were actually women. Right? I'm just saying what studies show. Just let's take a basic revival in a town or a city or a state or something like that. All these revivals are preceded by people praying. A lot of times, revival comes after people have gone sometimes months or years ahead into a city to begin to walk and pray, and do those kind of things. But I believe that there is a cry going out from our Heavenly Father. I talked about the river of God flowing from the throne. That men, it's time for us to be greater men of prayer. And that's why I'm saying you cannot overemphasize here Jesus. This is one example. Jesus went to pray. When Jesus went to pray this time, he was completely transfigured. So what's that have to do with me? I'm going to show you how you and I are exactly tied in to this as well. Now, the parallel gospel that talks about the transfiguration of Jesus is Matthew 17. So Matthew writes here, again, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a hike, a high mountain. It says, and hiked up a high mountain to be alone. I love that. Why did they go up to the mountain? To be alone to what? To pray. Guys, where's your prayer spot? Okay? It's very interesting to do a study in Scripture, posture of prayer. Look it up. Look up postures of prayer in the Bible. Now, it doesn't say you got to kneel down. It doesn't say you have to fold your hand, close your eyes. It doesn't say, look it up. There's one that says Jesus was gazing up upon heaven. Now, we, out of respect, we'll kneel, right? We say worship, how we fall all the way down on our face, the highest level of worship we talked about a few weeks ago. We, out of respect, we'll fall and kneel, bow, out of reverence, okay? But this just says Jesus is going to the mountain. He's going to get alone to pray. Guys, where's your place of prayer? Or in the Scripture, it calls them prayer closets, right? Where's your prayer closet? Guys, it can be your tree stand. Yeah. It can just be that you go for a hike in the woods to hear nature, leave your cell phone at home, Lord Jesus, leave it at home, and you go for a walk just to be with Christ, and you want to hike and pray. Now, if you can do it, maybe it's fly fishing. If you can do it, meaningless fly fishing, and still focus on Christ, praise God for you that you can fly fish and pray. Okay? I don't know where your place is, to where, I don't know where you get alone to pray, but I want to encourage you guys, poke, get a place to get alone with God and just talk to Him. Tell Him everything. Just talk to Him. Hey, Lord, what's up? You are, I'm not. Whatever, right? That's really corny. But whatever, just talk to Him. Open up the door. Lord, here am I. Peter, James, and John, let's go. We got to get alone. Let's go pray on the mountain. As Jesus was praying, Here we are. His appearance was dramatically altered. The radiant light, as bright as the sun, poured from his face. His clothing became luminescent, dazzling like lightning or white as light. He was transfigured, it says. Moses also, if you remember, went up to Mount Sinai, and he received an impartation of glory. And then what happened? His face shone so bright, he had to put a veil over his face, remember? The transfiguration of Jesus is also part of our destiny. How? Why? Because the same exact Greek word is used twice for believers, you and I, we're getting tied into this, twice for you and I as believers to be transfigured by the renewing of our minds. Same word, renew, transfigured, same word, metamorphosis, oh my God. It's the same exact word, Jesus being transfigured, us being transformed, transfigured by the renewing of our minds. By the glory of Christ within us that will complete this transfiguration into Christ's image. Okay? For the same Greek word was used twice for believers by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. How? By the glory of Christ. By the transfiguration, by the overshadowing of his characteristics inside of me and around me. Now, Moses was present. He represented the law. Elijah was present. He represented the prophets. But both Moses and Elijah were associated with Mount Sinai, right? Both had a ministry of performing astounding miracles. And with the characteristics and the glory of God in you and I, so can we, right? And both had unusual circumstances surrounding their passing from this life into glory. And so they stand there speaking with Jesus. And guess what? Peter's like, hey, Jesus, right in the middle of this whole thing, right? We talked about Peter. Peter's just like, hey, Jesus, I have a question. I have something that I thought about. He's like, hey, let me go build 3 tabernacles, and I'm going to set one up that they're booths, and they're made for celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. One will be for you, Moses, and Elijah. And I love this. While Peter was still speaking, this great big light came down. Didn't have to say, shut up, Peter. Just this great big light, radiant light came down from heaven, okay, spread over them, enveloping them all, overshadowing them all. This word enveloping, Herb, you'll like this. This word envelope is a very interesting word, envelope. Envelope is used in microbiology to talk about membrane forming. Envelope is used in electronics to talk about curve joining successive peaks. Okay, electronics. Enveloping is talked about in mathematics when you're talking about a curved tangent. Okay? Enveloping is talked about in astronomy about the nebulous covering a comet. That's pretty wild. Enveloping, as you and I think about it, is a... Focus in on me now, okay? I used big words and a whole bunch of stuff there you can kind of just throw away, but some people are really into that stuff. So focus back with me. Envelope, as you and I think, is a flat paper container with a sealable flap used to enclose a letter, a document, or whatever it is. Flat container, sealable flap used to enclose. It is a covering that contains structure in layers, envelope. A covering that includes structures. Structure brings about structure and layerings, and has the sealable flap. It says here that as Peter bowed it out, a voice from heaven came down, and this cloud enveloped them, overshadowed them. Is that not phenomenal? And so I just stand here thinking, praise God, glory to God. Renewing of my mind, transforming of my mind and my heart. You're gonna build that structure around me? You're gonna bring about that the layers around me and put a sealable flap on it? Oh, how beautiful of a picture is that for God's Spirit and what He does to you and for you and through you and in you. This is the same word, this overshadowing, this enveloping, is the same word that was used for Mary to become conceived with the seed of Jesus Christ. It's a supernatural overshadowing of God's power. It's a transformation. And so here we are, the second time that God speaks over his Son. The voice suddenly spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my dearly loved Son. This is my Son who I continue to love over and over and over." And it's like he's saying, I'm enveloping him and pouring into him. The voice came and spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my dearly loved Son. The constant focus of my delight," is what God says. You are God's constant focus of his delight because of Jesus Christ. The voice came from heaven and said that he is the one with whom my favor rests. God's favor rests on you. And then I love it at the end. It says, for us, listen to him. Listen to him. Consider what he says. His word. Consider and be attentive to him. Now let's look at the two scriptures that ties in the transformation and the renewing of our minds, okay? Romans 12:1-2 says, so, dear brothers and sisters, Paul says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. I plead with you to give your body to God. Why would I want to give my body to God? Well, because of all that he has done for you. Let your body be a holy sacrifice, the kind that is found acceptable unto him. Why? This is beautiful. Because this is truly the way we worship God. Really? I thought I was coming in here on Sunday and raising my hands and playing some music. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on here? Brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I beg you. Give your body to God. Why? What the world would you give your body to God for? Because of what he has done for you. How? How am I supposed to do this? It says right here. It clearly says. To be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that is found acceptable unto God. He goes on to tell you more specifically, do not copy the behaviors of this world. You want to worship the Lord? Don't copy the behaviors of this world. Don't follow the customs of the world. Instead, here we are, let God transform you into a new person. How is he going to transform me into a new person? By changing the way that we think. How is he going to change the way we think? Because his spirit envelopes us. His characteristics come inside of us, transform our minds so that I think differently, do differently, and what I'm doing is then pleasing unto the Lord is worship. Then, as you do that, here's something that everybody struggles with. You will learn to know God's will for you. People are always like, what's God's will for my life? And it's a valid question. I'm not knocking you. When you're in Christ, you find out God's will for your life every day, every moment of the day. You figure out what God's will is for your life. And what's this going to do? This is good and pleasing and perfect to your Father. Let's say it again this way. Blessed friends, what should we be our proper response to God's loving mercies? How should I respond to God's mercies in my life? It is to surrender myself to God and be his sacrifice, a literal living sacrifice, and to live in holiness, experiencing what delights God's heart. Why? Because this becomes your expression of worship to God. Part of showing God worship is living a life and being a person of integrity, putting in a full day's work, being accountable, living in truth, saying truth, dealing with truth, standing up for truth, that is worship to God. It is a sacrifice sometimes to stand up for truth. It's a sacrifice sometimes to be accountable, to have integrity. When you do those things, you are delightful to God, your Father, and you are worshiping Him. You're worshiping Him. You know, this is, make this your prayer. Father, may I be sensitive to how I'm making you feel. May I be sensitive to how I am making you feel. Is my character a reflection of your character? Glory. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this present age. The Greek word here means surrounded. Okay, so don't be surrounded by the present age and the things that are happening around you, but instead be overshadowed and enveloped by the glory of God, by the Spirit of God, instead of the customs and the ways of this world. Then you're living a life pleasing as a living sacrifice unto God and worshiping Him. You guys are like dead. I thought you'd be standing up waving your flags right now. Let's go. This is great. This is phenomenal. This is amazing. And this, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It all started because one guy got alone with his Father. Same Father you have. He found a place to get alone, to pray, to communicate with his Father. And these are the great, miraculous things that took place in his life. The things of this world, I don't need to tell you this, but the things of this world are temporal. They're coming to an end. Don't let them squeeze you and mold you and envelope you. But instead, be inwardly transformed by the overshadowing of God's Spirit through the total transformation of what you're thinking. And this will empower you to discern God's will. This empowers you to discern God's will and to live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. As we are living in an ever-changing world, you know, there's no such thing now as, you know, COVID pandemic and then let's go back to normal. There is no such thing to go back to normal, especially now with the crazy prices and stuff. I mean, how are you going to go back? You're not. So with everything changing all around us constantly, what we as Christians need to do is to reflect back on what does not change. What is one thing that we know does not change? Amen. Malachi, I am the Lord your God and I change not. I change not. We need to continually focus and allow Him to envelope us and surround us. James 1, 5-7 says, listen, if you need wisdom, ask your generous God. Your Father is a generous Father. If you need wisdom, what's wisdom? Simple definition, wisdom. Knowing what is right. That's only half of it. Wisdom is knowing what is right. The whole thing is knowing what is right, doing it. That's wisdom. It's an action word. Wisdom is, I know what's right, but then say it while I take a drink. Do it. Good job. Do it. Knowing what is right. So if I need to know what is right and then do it, I'm going to ask my Father who's generous and He'll give it to you. He's not going to rebuke you for asking. Pray. He's not going to rebuke you for asking anything. But when you ask, it's always coming alive. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. That's just like a callback. Okay, thanks for coming, son and daughter. Who's transforming you? Wrapped up in all the great things of this world, TikTok, and that's where you get your new hairstyle every week, and that's where you know how to put, whatever, I don't know. Where's your focus? What's getting most in here? Head, bright, mind transform, shine from my face, mind, it's all in the mind. But what's coming in here? Who are you allowing in here? There's one person, only one person. There's only one person that controls what goes in here. Look in the mirror. You. It's you. It's the radio station you got tuned in. It's the TikToks. It's your Instagrams. It's whatever you read. It's whatever, whatever. It's you that controls what goes in here. What enveloping is taking place? What overshadowing? What curves are coming into here? World, glory of God. Which one's outweighing the other one? Huh? You balance them. How many minutes do I do this per day? How many minutes do I do this per day? Do I include Jesus in everything? Do I talk to him constantly? Do my mind focused? What's it say right here? Who you focused on the most? Come to me, ask me anything. I'll give you wisdom. It's all here. But I got a question for you first. Because it's okay. Simple. People are like, I don't have any money. Well, save some jumping up and down. Just save it. It's not like you don't have money. Spend less than you make. That's such an easy example for me to give you, right? I don't have any money. Oh my gosh, you make this amount? Quit spending this amount. It's simple. This is like water. I don't have any water. Well, ration it. Save some for later. Tomorrow's going to be thirsty too. It's simple. Very, very simple. Jesus says, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't be wavering, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as the wave of a sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not accept to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they're doing. And really, that's not like God's like, oh, you're doing this. I'm not going to give it to you. No, he is giving it to you. The throne room of God is flowing constantly. You have to open up and say, oh, I'm going to go here and get some Jesus. TikTok, 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 TikTok. More TikToks, talk. Time over here than it is over here. And I wonder why he's telling you, you're wavering. And you say, well, I didn't get anything from Jesus. That's because you spent more time over there than you did at the cross with Jesus alone on the mountain. It's not his fault. Quit blaming him. You know, I was thinking earlier, I mentioned our Father which art in heaven. And I didn't know they were going to sing that song. And so a lot of people will say, well, that's just a coincidence because it's Father's Day. So you're going to say, our Father which art in heaven. Listen, a lot of people today, Christians, call Jesus a coincidence. Did you get that? Oh, that was just a coincidence. No, it was Jesus in your life. It wasn't a coincidence. Give him some glory. Where's your reflection? Where's your focus? Coincidence. Chalk world. Coincidence. No. Jesus. Glory of Jesus enveloping me. Jesus. What wave are you riding today? Second time, transforming our mind. 2 Corinthians 3. Talking about the glory of a new covenant, glory of the New Testament. It says, people's minds were hardened to this day whenever the old covenant is being read. And some kind, there's a veil that covers their mind and they can't understand the truth. Check this out. A veil covering one's mind, someone cannot understand the truth. This veil can be removed. How is this veil removed? Only by believing. This veil is removed by believing. What prevents one from believing the truth in Christ because they don't believe? One who don't know Christ, one who comes to Christ. Two things you have to do to come to Christ. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. As soon as I start to believe, there could be a God. He could have sent a son. He could have died, death, burial, resurrection. The veil. It's falling. You're starting to believe. The truth is starting to come in to your mind. This veil can only be removed by believing in Christ. Even today, when Moses' writings are read, their hearts are covered in a veil they don't understand. But whenever, 16, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Remember, sin is missing the mark. I'm missing the bullseye. What is the definition for repent? to change direction. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. Did anybody get that? Sin is I'm missing my bullseye. To repent means I'm changing. So if I'm over here and I need to be over here, then I'm sinning, I'm missing my mark. Okay, well, there's something I need to do. Plead some blood of Jesus and repent, change my direction back to hit the bullseye, back to Christ, back to the cross. Right? So it says here clearly, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away because the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. The truth shall set you over and over again. Over and over again. So all of us who have had the veil removed, all of us who believe, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. So all of you who believe in Jesus Christ can see because the veil's been removed, and now we reflect the characteristics of God, the glory of God. Isn't that beautiful? You and I, it's Shekinah glory. It's the reflection of the glory of God. We reflect the characteristics of God because the envelope, the overshadowing of my life that's more Jesus than the world, reflects His characteristics, His love, His mercy, His grace, His hope. People see hope in me because Jesus in me and you, right? So it is that glory in me. It's the characteristics of God that is in me. And the Lord who is Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Oh, we become more and more like Him. Oh, we rise above the world and all these things that so pull me down because we come into greater, greater and glory, greater and greater characteristics and mindsets of Jesus Christ. Let's think of it this way. Same verses. The veil has not yet been lifted from them because it's only eliminated when one is joined to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But the moment when one turns to the Lord with an open heart, that veil is lifted, and then they see. When the Spirit of God is ruling, speaking, and convincing us of truth, what sits right there? What sits for us every time? God's Spirit. And this doesn't have to be just in church. This is all the time. Because you worship God all the time, right? You just learned that. Everything I do is a worship to the Lord because I'm a blood-bought child of Christ. When the Spirit of the Lord is ruling, speaking, convincing us of truth, then there is freedom. Freedom, because God's Spirit, God's characteristic is constantly there speaking and ruling and convincing me of truth. There's constant freedom in this world and wherever He is. Wherever the Lord is, there is freedom. I believe right there, you can take that, and we can stay here till 2 o'clock and talk about responding to the Lord. Responding to the convicting and convincing, the love of the Lord, i.e. during altar calls, during messages. When you hear words like this today, and your TikTok, your heart, you feel a pull. Your mind is like, there's some lights going off. What is my responsibility? My responsibility is because there is truth being prevailed, truth being brought to the evidence of my mind, my response is to respond to the freedom and the truth that is there. Sometimes that response is when I say, and not just me, but in general, when I would say, hey, let's bow our heads, let's pray, and listen, if blah, 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 just raise your hand. That's your response. That's glory to God. That's saying, envelope me. Envelope me. I want to get to the point in the place here in church where I'm like, listen, if you feel God's enveloping you in such a great measure, don't be afraid to just run down here to the altar. Kneel, pray, do what you got to do. Respond to the Spirit of truth, the convincing, the love, the hope that God's speaking into your heart, because that's when He's moving in you. And when you do that, what you're changing from glory to glory, to greater, more and more characteristics of God in my life. Oh, we can draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of Jesus. We are being transformed just like Jesus was transfigured on the mount. Transfiguration is through the renewing of our thoughts and our minds into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another, right? He just keeps putting more and more of Himself in you, more and more of Himself in you, more and more of Himself in you. Who's responsible for more and more of Himself in you? Me. Only me. Me. I'm responsible for more and more of Him in me, from one brighter level of glory to another. The source of our transformation comes from Christ's glory, and the destination we are brought to is more glory. Glory, hallelujah! The transforming glory is the result of gazing upon the beauty and the splendor of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? I said it really fast. I'm going to slow it down. Listen, the transforming glory is the result of gazing upon Him. What were the words God spoke over His Son? Listen to Him. Attend to Him. Be alone with Him. Go to your deer stand. I don't know what that means for you. Pray. Be alone, guys. Go and be alone with Christ. I want to speak a declaration over your life today. Over our minds today. And if you like what I read here to you, there's a copy for you when you go out the door, okay? Dads, every man in house, I got a gift for you, okay? Forgot to tell you that earlier. I'm going to run to the door when we're done. Every guy gets a gift. Or two, or whatever, okay? But there's going to be a copy of this out there if you wish to have it. So listen, I want you to think now, and I said earlier, I don't know what your relationship with your earthly father has been like. It may have been glorious, and I pray it was and is still today. But even so, you have a heavenly Father. And I want you to just listen to these words. Allow me to step into your mind, to step into your world, and be a male voice in your life, okay? I want to step into your world and be the Father speaking into you, like God the Father is speaking these words to you. God said over His child, "This is my dearly loved child." And I say to you, from a father's perspective, from a heavenly perspective to God. And I'm not trying to exalt myself. Please understand this. Just think this through. And maybe you need to just close your eyes like I probably need to do here just to focus. This is your heavenly Father saying to you, listen, you are my dearly loved son or daughter. Not only are you my dearly loved son or daughter, but I am so, so well pleased with you. I am so pleased with you, the Lord says. The one who brings me great joy. You bring me such great joy because you allow me to envelope you with myself and my characteristics, transform you and to be a living sacrifice. And you bring me such great joy. This enveloping empowers you. I want to empower you to know my will and to live a beautiful life that's satisfying and perfect in my eyes. You are perfect in your Heavenly Father's eyes. You are satisfying in your Heavenly Father's eyes. God also spoke over His Son. This is my dearly loved son. I love you over and over and over. Continually do I love you. And you are my constant focus of delight. Constant focus of my delight is you, the Lord says to you. You are the one with whom my favor rests. My favor rests upon you. Today I declare, and I'm going to read this in first person, so I want you to kind of in your mind declare these things personally in your life. I declare this over my mind. I declare that I have the mind of Christ. I declare that I submit my mind to the will of God and submit my mind to the plan that He has for my life. Today I declare that my mind is not confused, but that I have a clear clarity to hear. I declare that no mental lapse, no dementia, or anything will steal my mind, but that my mind is kept by the power of God. I declare that I'm casting down any thoughts, any imaginations, any doubt, and any unbelief, and any other thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. I declare that I have the mind of Christ. I declare that my mind is covered by the blood of Jesus, and that the enemy will not be able to penetrate my thoughts, and that the Holy Spirit helps me guard over and reminds me what the Word of God says in Romans 12:2, that my mind is being renewed, transformed. My mind is redeemed and whole, and that is being renovated from the old way of thinking that's not the same because I have the mind of Christ. I declare this by God's Spirit, by His Word, and by me and my submission back to Him. We declare that we have the mind of Christ. We declare this now in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. As your heads are still bowed, as I mentioned earlier, there are times in our lives that when there's the pulling of the strings of our hearts, where you just say, okay, this word is relevant to me, and I need to respond. And simply today, as I mentioned earlier, the only response I want you to do is to raise your hands. Now, what are you raising your hands to? You're raising your hands to the fact of, I know I need to be a person of greater prayer. I know I need to be a person to get alone more and pray to God. I know that I need to be a person that's not wavering, but my focus is on the glory of God, because in the enveloping of God, the surrounding, the wrapping around, the structure that He brings about me and puts a seal on it, His Holy Spirit, is what I want in my life moving this day forward. Will you raise your hand with mine? Father, you see the hands that are raised here today. Lord, I stretch my hand up high as the glory of God. Father God Almighty, help us. Strengthen us. It says that your Holy Spirit empowers us. We need your Holy Spirit to empower us to constantly come back to the cross. We are of human nature. Yes, we miss the mark. We repent. We return. Hold Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, empower us to be sensitive to how my life, my living sacrifice life and body, is making you feel. May I not be one who is wavering, but one who is constantly filling my mind and my heart with the glory and the characteristics of God. Lord, we thank you in advance. We thank you in advance that you're going to take us from one step of glory to the next. More and more and more characteristics of God in my life. We bless you. You are such a great, great Heavenly Father. Lord, I do pray, as you said over your Son, that your favor rests upon Him. Lord, I know that your favor rests upon us. And the Scripture even says that we can find the favor of man. So I pray that blessing over this group right here, right now, that hears this word, that Father, thank you for your favor that rests upon us. And not just your favor. We're in this world and we get the favor of man. We get a double because we're a child of God. Because all the great things flow from the throne room of God like a river right into us, envelopes us, surrounds us, sealed up every opportunity. You give us every opportunity to succeed in our relationships and our lives with you. Father, bless these great people. Love them in Jesus' name. Amen.